7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Eleanor Day, Chambers Paralegal, and here on the Part Heard podcast, we've spent the last 6 months traversing the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. Now, as we near the end of this most unusual of years, we're taking the opportunity for reflection. So each day for the next 12 days, a different member will discuss a 2020 case of theirs in a sort of legal advent calendar. Today, Ayana Nelson is here to speak about a recent regulatory case of hers, which involved a hearing before the Nursing and Midwifery Council. Ayana came to the bar after practicing as an attorney at law in Grenada for 5 years, having twice served as secretary of the Grenada Bar Association and been appointed to sit on the General Legal Council, the bar regulatory body. She now specialises in crime, regulatory and professional discipline, offshore and international law, is a grade 2 prosecutor and is direct access qualified.
Earlier this year, before the lockdown, I was involved in a case before the Nursing and Midwifery Council, where I represented a nurse who had been, she worked in a hospital and she was accused of stealing controlled drugs from the hospital's secure controlled drugs cupboard on a number of occasions. It was said that that involved her forging other nurses' signatures and procuring the drugs for her own personal use. The case was interesting because it was largely founded on the evidence of one of her colleagues who says that she saw the nurse go into the controlled drugs room, leave a few moments later and go straight into the staff room before leaving. Interestingly, the hospital had a CCTV camera in the controlled drugs room, and the second main aspect of the NMC's evidence was that CCTV footage where you can see that nurse signing out the drugs and leaving the room. On the face of it, the evidence looked quite strong. It was denied, however, by my client that she had in fact been stealing those drugs, and she maintained that the drugs had been taken and administered to a patient on the ward. There's no evidence of this. The case was interesting because it flagged to me the importance of pursuing all avenues of disclosure in regulatory or professional discipline cases. The role of a regulator is different to the police in a criminal investigation, where there is a duty to investigate all allegations thoroughly, which includes finding material evidence that might exonerate that person. With a regulatory matter, the role of the regulator really is more related to compiling evidence to support referrals that have been made or allegations that have been made. In this case, it wasn't clear until the day of the hearing, first day of the hearing, that in fact there was further CCTV evidence that, had it been viewed, would likely have shone a different light on my client. After pursuing those avenues, we were able to obtain that footage, and in fact, it supported what my client had said, which was that she did in fact leave the control drugs room and went along to the ward. In one swoop, we were therefore able to discredit the main witness who had said that she saw my client going into the staff room and then leaving. And effectively, we were able to disprove all of the allegations, the outstanding allegations in relation to her dishonesty, and in particular, the allegations of stealing medication were found not proved. The case, as I said, it's important in respect of the need for full disclosure. It's also important for practitioners to ensure, especially if you're defending, but also if you are prosecuting or investigating a case on behalf of a regulator, to ensure that all and any evidence is secured, which may tend to give a different view of a particular matter. And particularly where you're dealing with things like CCTV, obtaining different camera views or other camera evidence could be crucial, especially when you consider that in a regulatory hearing, the standard of proof is lower than it would be in a criminal court. And so the panel need only be satisfied on the balance of probabilities that a person has done what they are accused of having done.
Thank you for listening to 7BR's 12 Days of Christmas. For more information and to listen to all our previous episodes, please visit our website.